Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already October 9th and 10th, depending on when you're listening to this. Saturday, October 9th, after the 9 o'clock news, and Sunday, October 10th, after the 9 o'clock news. I want to give a big shout-out to my last week's guest, President Alfred Williams of River Valley Community College, and that was part of our series of educating the public on the various colleges that comprise the community college system of New Hampshire, and President Williams did a great job describing the unique features of River Valley Community College. But shifting gears, this weekend with me is Myra Nikitas, who is a registered dental hygienist and has an in-depth background on what she does as president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygiene Association. I'll ask Myra to briefly talk about that. But today's topic is actually going to be on mindfulness. So, Myra, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're busy with your role as president of New Hampshire Dental Hygienist Association, as well as what you do for the Nashua Dental Connection. But thank you for joining me this weekend.
I thank you, Tom. This is a great, great honor to be a guest on your show. I know in the past we've talked about, you know, being president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygienist Association, my role, especially around COVID time. So I'm so excited today to talk to you about mindfulness, especially with the unprecedented times and taking on mindfulness and meditation. So I was so excited and honored to read your book that you wrote on mindfulness. So it's a great read, and I'm hoping that many of you listening out there will pick it up and find it helpful as you journey into the mindfulness pathway.
Well, thank you for that unexpected plug. And for the listening audience, the book is called Mindfulness, A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World. And my co-author is Professor Burrell, who does some work in the local college. And we connected because I was, this was pre-COVID, I was noticing even then people were a little more stressed out than I'd like to see around campus. This is when all of our employees were working on campus, and I was noticing, you know, people, you know, emailing but simultaneously with the, you know, with the phone on their ear. And I'm thinking, well, we all know that human beings really, we think we can multitask, but we can't. And I just kind of noticed that people are a little bit stressed out. So we gathered Annabelle Burrell, that's her name, and Professor Burrell, and we brought in mindfulness classes, and a myriad of employee colleagues here at Northeast Delta Dental have stuck with it, even in the virtual world. Annabelle used to come on campus, and now it's all done via Zoom. And then I said, why don't we take all of what we learned and co-author a book on it, with Annabelle providing sort of the science behind things like the power of deep breathing and meditating on the breath and et cetera, and I could sort of provide the pragmatic uses of mindfulness, both in terms of how I engage it, as well as how it's happened at our company. And so thus the book, which you can get on Amazon. And again, it's not a plug because all the proceeds go to the Northeast Delta Dental Foundation, which, as you know, Myra, but the listening audience may not know, raises funds for underserved populations who either don't have access to dentist or can't afford it. So that's kind of how the whole connection came in. And basically, as we define it, of course, in terms of mindfulness, it's the intentional directing of awareness to attending to the present moment in a focused manner with no judgment. And so that has really changed my life. And as if people read the book, and I know you did, people come up to me all the time, my colleagues, and said, geez, I was about to get a divorce, and now my home life is squared away, and I'm much more, you know, focused, you know, at work. And we distribute this book to every new employee we hire, and it's been well received. So, but let's get back to you. So, how did you first get into mindfulness, and maybe it was something you were always doing naturally? And tell us about your history.
Sure. Well, first, Tom, I wanted to thank you again. Northeast Delta Dental has been very generous, and when you said that, you know, the part of the proceeds of the book, or proceeds go from to, you know, people who are underserved. I work at the Greater Nashua Dental Connection, and Northeast Delta Dental has been very generous to us in hosting some events for school-age kids who we historically would go into schools and provide preventative services, and because of COVID and kids weren't in school, we weren't able to do that. And with the help of Northeast Delta Dental, we were able to do a fluoride event. So, you know, we are so appreciated because, as you know, the Greater Nashua Dental Connection is not federally funded. So we rely on grants and money throughout the community to keep us going. So that was a huge success, and we really appreciate the generosity of Northeast Delta.
Thank you for saying so. We're all in this together in terms of the oral health mission, and you know, everybody is my latest sort of tagline is everybody deserves a healthy smile. Not only people that may be listening to this that have traditional dental insurance, either through their employer or through their union, or maybe individually through healthcare.gov or deltadentalcoveragemeet.com, but there are a lot of people that cannot afford even a relatively inexpensive prepaid dental insurance program. So I think it's so important that your leadership with the Nashua Dental Connection, and there are these clinics all across the New Hampshire that are so important. For example, the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race helps fund the Coos County Family Dental Health Center, and there are access issues in the North Country as well as in Nashua. So what we try to do is tie everything that we do as a company to our mission, and I've really gotten behind this. Everybody deserves a healthy smile, including, and maybe if there's time after commercial break, we can lament a little bit about an adult dental Medicaid benefit and why that didn't occur this cycle, and how maybe we can make it happen.
Yeah.
But let's get on to mindfulness. So how did it start resonating with you? And tell us your sort of history with it.
Sure. So I've been a hygienist for about almost close to 20 years. And this has helped me in my career. Mindfulness has also helped me through my journey as president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygienist Association. I took on this role as president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygienist Association about 2 months before COVID hit the United States. So it was a difficult time for me in taking on the presidency, having to deal with just all of the COVID and just all of it in a nutshell. So taking on mindfulness, I use meditation to help me release and reduce my stress, my anxiety, the pain that I may be suffering, insomnia. So overall, when I'm unable to take a minute to do a meditation, or I take a few deep breaths and just to kind of release and reset my mind to my current moment. I had gone through a really stressful time around 8 years ago and in my career, and I had a death in the family, and it made me think, okay, I have to do something here. So a friend was like, you need to tune into meditation and mindfulness and love yourself. And so that's kind of my journey. When I was losing a lot of hair and just I just wasn't feeling like myself. So mindfulness and meditation has really, really helped me improve myself, love myself, kind of pay attention to the current moment and what people are saying to me, and appreciate them, and also reduce my stress, my anxiety, and the day-to-day stuff. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I have a full-time job. I volunteer with a lot of boards. So my life can be pretty hectic at times.
So really, by engaging mindfulness, you're a little less stressed, reduce your anxiety. Probably people like to be around you more, right, as well?
I'm much more likable.
That old expression, if you like yourself, you become more likable. That's great. And you're probably, as you say, you're a mom, you're a wife, you have a full-time job, you're the president of the Hampshire Dental Hygiene Association, and all the politics and other things related to that, not negative, it's just, just the reality. So you have to, be able to find, some time for yourself, and you're probably, I'm gathering you're probably feeling, even though you still have an incredible amount of responsibilities, you're probably feeling less fatigued too, I bet.
Exactly, Tom, less fatigued. It's just, taking in that moment and just accepting it and, putting out there a positive outlook on things. And a lot of times we take, the negative right away, and we dwell on that. We think that. We overthink that. We worry. And, having a mindfulness approach to things makes us look at things a little bit differently, and always trying to see the good and positive in a lot of situations we may, be put in. Or so that is definitely helped me, being president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygienist Association and taking on that leadership role. Sometimes, you don't always agree with a lot of things, or, just reset your mind and look at it from that present moment.
Boy, I'm so happy that you found mindfulness in it. And the other thing, of course, we found in our company, it then improves, if someone's happier at home, happier with themselves, The obvious corollary is that they perform better, you know, in the office or now, you know, virtually. So that's awesome. Could you spend 1 minute on meditation, and we'll at least let's start on it, then we'll go to break, because a lot of people say, oh my God, you know, do I have to be a guru and things like that? And I will just spend the first 15 seconds here saying what I do is I spend 2 or 3 minutes before I go into the office, think about my day ahead, and then at the end of the day, before I leave to go back home to, you know, face the family, because I want to be the best when I go back home, then I meditate before I go home. So in my case, I've explained this to my employee colleagues, it doesn't have to be overly, you know, scientific, and you don't have to be a guru or anything. So why don't you start the conversation with how easy meditation can be, and then we'll pick up more after commercial break.
Sure, Tom. So meditation can be as easy as just taking in a couple of deep, hard breaths, okay? Just taking in the moment, deep breath in, and just releasing it. Sometimes if I don't have, you know, a lot of time to spend even driving to work and just thinking about my day and how I want my day to go, putting that positive energy out there and just thinking, okay, today is going to be a great day. I'm going to make it a great day. Spend the time and just kind of think it through. Or, you know, even at night on our drive home, or I like to sit at home. I have a little chair that I sit and I just kind of sit in a quiet place, just kind of clear my mind about, you know, the day's things that happened throughout my day, the things that were really positive, things I would have liked to change, but I just let it go. Taking a couple of deep breaths in, deep breaths out, and just releasing that and really just kind of quieting the mind. So you don't have to sit in, you know, a pose and put your hands up like your guru, you know, picture when right. You type in meditation, that's what you get. And you really don't have to be a big person and crunchy granola person to go out and, you know, want to meditate. Mindfulness and meditation is for everybody.
Exactly. And I think that's a really point of emphasis is that you don't have to chant, and it can be really pragmatic in terms of what works for you. So we are going to return with Myra Nikitas on mindfulness after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Ready. Tom Raffio, this weekend of October 9th and 10th. And this weekend with me is Myra Nikitas, and we're going to be talking not about the Nashua Dental Connection or her role in the running and, you know, the Hampshire Dental Hygiene Association as president and many other responsibilities she has. But we're going to be talking more today on mindfulness, and both Myra and I sort of gravitated to mindfulness, you know, with the sort of stresses that we have with our responsibilities. Myra really engaged it right around the time of COVID when she took on her new responsibilities. In my case, I was starting to notice before COVID even that employees were multitasking and looked a little bit more stressed. And one of the reasons for Northeast Delta Dental's success is we have a great culture where people can thrive. And I just wanted to make sure that we weren't, overly pressuring people and by the multitasking. And let's start there, which is, I know that I did a lot of work with Professor Burrell on the science behind this, and one of the things I like to say is that while we all sort of can sometimes, you know, delude ourselves into thinking, you know, that we're effectively multitasking, for the most part, while you can talk and walk at the same time, for the most part, human beings are pretty much binary, which is if you're focused on the email that you're typing, then you're not listening to the person on the other end of the phone that you're, you know, that you're trying to converse with. Or nowadays, particularly with all the Zooms, if you're on a Zoom and then really you're doing other work, you're not being effective. And not only that, you're being less effective, and you're probably causing internal stress. So that was one of the reasons why I got into it, to sort of remind myself to do one thing at a time and using time well and focus, and like you said earlier, you know, be present. But the other thing is to explain to employees that multitasking isn't healthy, and actually, you know, you're you know, you're less effective. So that's kind of one of, you know, one of my learnings. The other was that, and we talked about this as well, that you don't have to be, you know, meditation is not necessarily, you know, chanting and spending a half hour. In my case, you know, what I like to do is just sit comfortably in a quiet place. I close my eyes, you know, I breathe in slowly, and really for like 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes twice a day, once in the morning before I go into the office, and then once before I leave the office, you know, at the same time in roughly the same place, it has worked for me. And you described how you did it. So let's build on that. Like, why do you think there's some resistance to mindfulness when in fact we know it will make you, happier or make you healthier? There's actually another way I got into this was this is when we were all flying every month. There was a book by Dan Harris, who you see on TV, who wrote a number one New York Times bestseller called, you know, 10% Happier. And basically what he was describing is how he sort of tamed, you know, the voice in his head, and he reduced stress, and he didn't, you know, lose his edge. I know a lot of people think they're going to lose their edge. So tell us, again, in your journey, how you, the way you describe meditation seems like that would be relatively easy for someone to do, and they don't have to, like, go to school for it, right?
Right. And, you know, Tom, even, you know, taking a nice walk, enjoying nature, just taking it all in from that present moment and just accepting it and releasing that, you know, stress or tension is huge. So even if some people walk at lunch, take that time, go for a nice walk outside. The weather's going to be beautiful. The, you know, fall time, the leaves are starting to turn. They look beautiful. So take in that time, even go for a walk, you know, listen to some calming music to, you know, quiet the mind a little bit so that you can sit there with a couple minutes of quiet time and just release all that. And, you know, take a couple deep breaths. And that's how kind of I got into it, just taking a couple deep breaths and sitting in a quiet place, trying to quiet my mind. I am a better person for doing that, because I'm a better person at work. I am just, you know, concentrating on my patient, not thinking about, oh, my gosh, I have to go home and, you know, make dinner and do this and answer this email and do this. And then you become so overwhelmed and so stressed so easily. So just enjoying that, you know, present moment, for me, you know, being with that patient and concentrating on that patient, never mind what, you know, oh gosh, I'm running behind, I'm waiting for an exam, this is going to throw my whole day off, or, you know, oftentimes we fall into that pitfall and it very quickly will escalate and make us worried.
Definitely make you more stressed. And for my CEO colleagues, I know I have kind of a following of younger emerging business leaders and some CEOs, and, you know, they once told me, oh, that sounds a little bit like, you know, mumbo jumbo. And I said, no, in fact, it's really not. It's very practical. And there's actually research on this that now suggests that mindfulness increases workforce engagement, which is what we want, because obviously there's a workforce shortage in virtually every industry, mm-hmm. that it's proven that there, if you're mindful, you have 60% fewer errors, 37% lower absenteeism, 18% higher productivity, and it does relate back to the work. So here's one of my colleagues, I'm just going to use it in a composite way. She said, our departments have daily goals. You could get stressed out about making your numbers. Instead, you think about being present, doing one thing at a time, stay focused, and you'll do a good job and make your numbers. Another person, I've been on low-grade tranquilizers for years. Since I began the mindfulness and meditation classes, I found myself to be more relaxed, more focused, and less anxious. A few weeks ago, I gave up the tranquilizer, and I've been just fine. And so people's lives have been transformed, and it's a pretty obvious statement. But as I said before the break, I mean, if you're happy at home, you're going to bring that into the office. And, you know, that type of being present and intentionally directing that awareness to the present moment, I think is huge, because, as you said, you're performing your job better, right? If you're not worrying about, oh, my God, I have to shop, get something for dinner, while you're trying to, do a prophy on a patient, you're probably a little less effective.
Right, right. And, you know, we're all busy, and it's hard to slow down and notice the things in a busy world. But, you know, we need to take the time to experience our environment with all of our senses, right? Touch, sound, light, sight, smell, taste. So, you know, really engage in those times. So, you know, we're eating our favorite food. Take time to really enjoy instead of, oh, rushing to eat dinner real fast because, you know, we've got to do this, that, and help, you know, our kids with homework and such. So live in the moment.
Also, I think it helps relationships because I think with the mindful listening, I think we all become much better listeners, and we're not listening with the, you know, with the intent to reply. As Covey said, we are listening to understand. Then later we can try to make our point understood. So, you know, and not being judgmental and not interrupting. Also, you end up being more respectful for your fellow colleagues when you're being mindful because you're not worrying about what you're going to say next.
Exactly. And Tom, you know what? Accepting yourself and treating yourself just as well, right? Sometimes we forget and, you know, treat ourselves good and, you know, we will treat others even better. So we need to, you know, start being so hard on ourselves to try to do this and that, and I got to finish this. And, you know, our minds are always going. So, you know, taking that time and just taking, you know, a couple deep breaths or just clearing our mind will kind of reset our minds to be a better person and accept yourself.
Exactly. I love what you just said there. One other practical advice I would give, and this has really helped me, is I don't do as much back-to-back scheduling because I want to transition. So as a CEO, sometimes, you know, I get so much to jam-pack in, but I know when I used to run from one meeting to another, you know, without the transition, and even if it's a Zoom, it's really the same thing. I now, you know, allow white space in my calendar, so if I'm talking about, you know, claims processing, then my next meeting is on a completely different topic, I allow myself sort of that you know, transitional space to pause and breathe and, you know, even stretch so I can start, you know, really fresh with my next meeting. And, boy, that has really helped me, too.
That's so important because you need to kind of reset your mind and move on to the next, but not think about, oh, geez, I'm rushing. I'm going to be late to this meeting or what am I going to say for this? Or, you know, you need that time to say, I got this, you know, take a couple minutes. Deep breaths and, you know, go for it.
And the way, you can help yourself or if you have someone else that does your schedule by asking to have that, you know, space in your calendar. So you can sort of, you know, create the infrastructure so you have the time to spend 5 or 10 minutes, you know, quietly meditating, you know, once in the morning and once in the night. You can build it in. You can make sure that you have space in between meetings. And I realize occasionally we're all jammed up, but for the most part, if you can schedule your life, you can actually help, you know, create this feeling of, you know, that you're much more confident and you know, focused and present. And I think we all need this because when I do talks on mindfulness, and I one in particular comes to mind, we did one, Annabelle and I did one in the Amherst Library back in November of 2019, right before, you know, the COVID fan hit. And, you know, I started with how many people have, you know, gone into a room and forgotten why they went into the room, you know, and how many people have, you know, driven home without sort of recognizing how they got there. And I asked questions like that. And by the end of like 5 questions, everybody has raised their hand. And so I say, you know, then this is why, you know, we all of us can use mindfulness. And that's really in addition to observing too many of my employees, you know, multitasking. The other reason why I had to do a sort of self-reflection is I remember driving home one day from work and there was a late night, late evening. I usually work late, but I've cut that back a little bit. But we had a teleconference and, you know, I have like a it was going to be a short teleconference, so I decided to do it while I was driving, hands-free. So obviously no one should ever call with a phone on their ear or text, but I was driving hands-free, you know, listening to the teleconference. And next thing you know, I was in my garage, and like I had no idea how I got there. And I said, you know what? time for me to take a step back because, again, there I was, in effect, you know, multitasking, you know, driving, which should be your primary focus. Well, and I was doing it hands-free, but I was listening to a conversation, and the next thing you know, I was in my driveway, you know. So anyway, that was the wake-up call for me, and the wake-up call sort of observing, you know, folks multitasking, and so that triggered, you know, the book Mindfulness, and I hope people do read it. Again, any proceeds will go to the Northeast Delta Dental Foundation. And another handy-dandy book, if people want sort of a more anecdotal book, but one that is very enlightening, it's by Dan Harris called 10% Happier. And in the final analysis, he reduced his stress without losing his edge, and you know, found that sort of self-help, you know, through mindfulness, as you and I did, Myra. So, Myra, thank you for engaging this topic. Thanks for all you do for the Nashua Dental Connection, and also is in a very challenging job as the New Hampshire president of the New Hampshire Dental Hygiene Association, particularly now with you know, all the workforce challenges. So thank you very much for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. And again, you know, your mindfulness book is a great start, you know, to anyone on their mindfulness journey, and I really, really highly recommend it. And it's not just, you know, it appeals to any audience. So I really encourage you to, or those listening, you know, to pick it up and start on their mindfulness journey. I think it will be super helpful. And I really thank you for taking the time to go over this topic with me and, you know, get the word out that this is so important to our health.
Yeah, more than ever, particularly now with Zoom and working virtually and the workforce shortage. And I think you summarized it great. This is not mumbo jumbo. This is self-help in a way that you can shape it and improve your life at home as well as your professional life. Thank you, Myra. Tom Raffio, we'll return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.